Good evening, folks. Today's guest is singer-songwriter George Murphy, who hails from the Dublin suburb of Beaumont. George exploded onto the Irish music scene after his memorable appearances on RTÉ's television show, You're a Star. George, you're very welcome on the show. Thank you so much for your time. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you ended up where you ended up?
Well, how long have you got, Ciara? I mean, it's been a bit of a roller coaster journey now for the last 20, coming up on 21 years now. Like you said, I auditioned for a TV show back when I was only 17 years of age, and I didn't realize that it was going to change my life forever, and that I would end up being blessed to be involved in the Irish music scene as much as I have been, and to work with some of the people I grew up listening to, like heroes of mine, like Aslan and the Dubliners and the Furies and Phil Coulter and that kind of thing. And I've recorded like 5 studio albums now and traveled all over the world touring, playing music. And that's kind of the short synopsis, if you will. But yeah, I mean, it's what's strange, I suppose, for me, Ciara, is it still very much feels like the beginning, because I've started this new band called The Rising Suns, and we've just finished recording our first studio album together. And I'm taking on some of the biggest venues in the country that I've ever played. Like, we've sold out Vicar Street and we've done the Cork Opera House, and we're going to be in the Millennium Forum in Derry in a couple of weeks' time, and getting to play these rooms with people who I kind of started a session with in the corner of our local pub. To go from the corner of a local pub singing a few songs and drinking a few pints to selling out the biggest auditoriums in the country is just, it's incredible, you know?
Unbelievable. Wow. Fair dues. And George, because you were solo artist before and you're going into a band, how does that feel? Because you've got all these different personalities and, you know, I suppose you still want it to go the way you want it to go. You know what you're doing. Are the band members willing to be led by you?
I mean, to a degree, they kind of let me kind of lead the charge, I suppose. But at the same time, they do have their own opinions and their own ideas of what direction we should go in. And there is arguments and there is bickering. I can't say that there isn't. But at the same, I kind of welcome that, because you know you're doing something honest then. You know if you're arguing over something, that everybody is trying to get to the right place. But differences of opinion when it comes to music are healthy sometimes, because an idea that I might not be able to come up with on my own, somebody else might come up with. And when everybody throws their hat in the ring and we try to kind of compliment everybody's talent and the talent that they're bringing to the table, I think it leads to the best end result, you know?
No, that's very fair and very honest of you to say. And do the other guys sing as well, or is it just playing instruments?
No, they sing also. I mean, I'm kind of the lead singer, but my cousin Dave is a very strong singer as well. Myself and Dave kind of went out as a two-piece for a long time. And then we started this session and we filled these other players in around us. But I mean, we kind of started the session with the idea that we would just have the traditional Irish kind of sound of banjos and whistles and fiddles, and put the word out that if anybody played an instrument and they wanted to join in on the session, that they were more than welcome to come down. Then all of a sudden, like, a guy arrived with an electric guitar and a bass guitar and then drums and stuff like that. And it was taking on a bit more of a kind of a rock and roll element. And that's not really the direction that we were looking to go in. But when we heard the rock and roll sound mixed with the Irish traditional sound, I just kind of had a bit of a kind of epiphany moment, I suppose. I was like, this works really, really well together. So I sat down with my management team and I said, I'd like to take these guys on the road. And I think they kind of advised against me, because they said, look, it's not going to work with guys who have day jobs and can't give their full commitment and dedication to a music career. And it's also not going to work if there's 8 of yous, because it's just logistically a nightmare in terms of travel and accommodation and financing a band of that size. But we weren't really in it for the money. We just wanted to make some music together and try and make some memories and build a bit of an audience. And thankfully, like I said, we've gone from the corner of a local pub to selling out the biggest rooms in the country, you know?
That's amazing. And I'm really excited for you guys to come to the UK, because my husband and I are going to go see you. You're playing, what was the name of the place that you said you were playing in Birmingham?
Yeah, so we're just after confirming that we're going to be on the Park Festival, which runs on the weekend of the 24th and 25th of August. We've also been asked, invited over to play the Irish Cultural Centre in Hammersmith in London. So we're going to be playing there as well. But there's lots of offers coming in from Scotland and the UK and stuff like that. And look, I'd love to take them all on board. But the problem is, like I said, the lads all have their day jobs. So I have to kind of, to some degree, work around their schedule. And summer months are pretty good because there's a good few of the lads are school teachers and they have 3 months off in the summer. So we can kind of make it work around then, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's all go. I mean, I suppose the cool thing about the band is as well, but people know that we're born out of a session. And so when one or two of the musicians can't make it, like it doesn't really affect the gig obviously we miss them and their musicality, but the show can still go ahead as a 5-piece, as a 6-piece, and we just kind of get on with it and we can make it work with whatever players kind of turn up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And it's not going to slow you down at all. It's just something that you can work with. You've been used to being on your own anyway. So anything else after that is a bonus. Talk to me about when you were younger. You were 17, I believe, when you did Eurostar. What did it feel like to go in front of these people? I think, was it Phil Coulter, a judge back then? Yeah,
he was, yeah.
I mean, that must have been, is that why you took the audition on, because you wanted to see him, or is that why you chose to do Luke Kelly? What were you feeling? What was the
yeah,
that?
No, I chose kind of to do a Luke Kelly song because I knew that Phil Coulter had worked with Luke Kelly and I couldn't believe how well it worked, in the sense that Phil pulled me aside after my very first audition and he told me he was going to produce my first album. Now, look, I was 17, walking in off the streets of Dublin. I hadn't even told my mother and father that I was going for this audition. And I came home and told them that Phil Coulter said he was going to produce an album with me. And, you know, they were like, yeah, right, whatever. Like, that's never going to happen. And the show ran on then for another kind of like 6, 7, 8 months or whatever it was. It went on for a long time until they whittled it down to the finalists and all that kind of stuff. And Phil never mentioned it again. He said it to me that very first day, and then he never said it again. And then when the show came to an end, a couple of weeks passed and I had a management team in place. I was getting record deal offers from Universal and Sony and stuff like that. And as soon as the deal was put in place, I got a call from Phil Coulter to say, I told you I was going to produce your album. I'm a man of my word. And I went up the north then and actually lived with Phil. We moved in together and I would get up in the morning and have breakfast with him and stuff like that. And then we'd head off to the studio, record for the day, come home, have dinner, go to bed, wake up the next day and in the studio again, you know?
Oh my goodness. I didn't realize that. This is amazing. I didn't know that. Phil, I mean, who doesn't love Phil? Anyone that watches Irish TV and loves Irish music knows that Phil Coulter wrote some of the best songs ever. That's really impressive. And do you still work with Phil now, or are you kind of doing your own thing?
I'm kind of more doing my own thing. I mean, Phil will still take my calls and I'll still chat to him about projects and take some advice off him and stuff like that. And he was always a great friend and a mentor in the beginning. But like every songwriter, like Phil himself would tell you, like, you kind of have to make your own path in this industry at a certain point. And I mean, Phil definitely gave me a good leg up to start with, but I'm kind of trying to find my own route forward now, you know?
You've achieved so much, so young. I mean, you did start young. And I believe I was watching an interview that you did. You said that your background, you did a degree in performing arts. Is that right? Or music?
Yeah, yeah. I actually, my kind of main passion when I finished school and what I wanted to get involved in was acting. And I've been provided a few opportunities now. I'm learning a script at the moment to do a one-man show. It was written by a playwright called Gary Brown, but it's kind of a musical play about a Dublin docker and growing up around the Dublin docks and the hardships that the families and people went through, like trying to get work and trying to put food on the table and that kind of thing. But there's a lot of songs about it, and the songs have been kind of co-written by myself and Damien Dempsey and Gary Brown also. So that's going to be another opportunity to kind of act and stuff like that. But that's what I got involved in college. I was studying and trying to go down the acting route. And then I was offered a record deal in music, and that the acting kind of took a back seat then, and has been in the back seat for the last 20 years, I suppose. It's just never been, it's never been an itch I managed to scratch as much as I would have liked, because I was always just kept so busy with the music, you know.
That's what I was going to say. You know, when you're doing something with acting and learning lines, it's very time consuming. So, you know, there's two brilliant things that you're probably, I would say you would be a very, very good actor. Definitely very, very good actor. And I would like to see you on the big screens and say, once upon a time, I had you on the podcast. Tell me this, George, what was it like growing up in Beaumont? What was the area like? What were your friends like? Has your friends changed after you became, we won't say famous, because I know that you don't like using that word, but when you started to reach your level of success, what was it like?
No, in fairness, what I suppose what's really good about my group of friends is, like, nobody is allowed to get carried away with themselves. I mean, all we kind of do is take the mick out of one another, you know, and it's nearly the more successful you are at something, regardless of whether it's me at music or one of my friends as a personal trainer and starting his own company, like whatever they do, the more successful you are, the more you're going to have the piss ripped out of you by the rest of the lads. You know what I mean? Or like if I come in after doing a big gig and I've, you know, maybe done well financially because of it, like they'll all be saying, okay, well, George is going to get the bill, or George is going to, you know, and like, it's not like I'm rich and they know I'm not rich, but it's all, they know well how to bring you back down to earth. And the same is true of myself. Like I wouldn't let any of them get carried away, and they never let me get carried away. And we're all very supportive of each other while at the same time constantly ripping the mick out of one another as well, you know. But I think that's a good way to have a group of friends. And I suppose the cool thing about us as a group as well is, I mean, the same kind of 10, 15, 20 people that I would have kicked the ball around with when I was in the park at 8, 9, 10 years of age, they're the same lads that I would go and like on, we'd be going on stags in the next few weeks, and we go to the pub to watch the football, but it's all the same crew. And there's about 20 of us that still get together, and we're all now nearly pushing 40 at this stage, you know.
Well, that's, it must be a really nice area to grow up in then, because I'm originally from Clondalkin, and we kind of had to, friends that I've had for 15 years over the last few years, they kind of drift off. I think the more you go in the direction that you want in life, you kind of lose them on the way. So I think it's a credit to you to have the friends that you've had since you were a kid. And it's very humble. You're a very humble person, I can tell by talking to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, thank you for saying that. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, families and marriages and you know, and jobs, like, they do get in the way. It's not like I still see these people on a daily basis, but we all try to make time for one another when it comes to, say, like, the weekends or special occasions or birthday parties and that kind of thing. And we like, my kids would keep in touch with my friends' kids and stuff like that. And we use that as an opportunity for us to catch up by getting our kids together and that kind of thing, you know. And it's just the circle of life, I suppose.
Absolutely. Does any of your kids play instruments or sing as well?
Yeah, my daughter is a fantastic singer. She's brilliant. She plays a little bit of piano, a little bit of ukulele. I'm trying to teach her the guitar. She's kind of getting to that age where she's a bit too cool for school now, and she doesn't really want daddy teaching her songs. Like, I mean, like when she was kind of growing up, I would have been getting her to listen to the Beatles and to the stuff that I thought was cool. But like, she's at an age now where she has her own interests, and the stuff she's listening to wouldn't exactly float my boat. But at the same time, you have to allow her to have her own interests and find her own way. I don't want to push it on her too much. She does have a lot of talent, but I don't want to be too forceful with it, because the more I push, the more she pulls away, you know?
That's very true. I knew a person years ago who had an All-Ireland for the banjo, and his father wanted him obviously playing the banjo when he was younger. And because it wasn't a cool instrument, it wasn't a guitar, it wasn't drums, he resented it. And when he was 18, he would never play the banjo again. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So do you know what? You probably get asked this a lot, and I know I've seen you when you were doing your auditions, you did it without any instruments or anything. Can you give us a little tiny piece of something from Luke Kelly?
Oh, geez. Right, hang on. Funnily enough, I actually have the guitar here, because I was playing before I was on air. Is there anything in particular you want to hear?
Do you know my little son? Come, my little son. Oh, God, look at me singing.
Oh, come, little son, I will tell you what we'll do. Undress yourself and get into bed. Tale I will tell to you. It's all about your daddy. He's a man you seldom see. For he's had to roam far away from home, far away from you and me. But remember, he's still your dad, though he's working far away. In the cold heat all the hours of the week on England's motorway. No idea how good that's going to come across on the phone, but sure. There you go.
You know what? You have me crying. You have the ability to touch hearts all over, and I cannot wait to go see you live. That was absolutely brilliant, and I don't care.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, George, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it, and I wish you every
No problem. I'm here. The very best of luck with the podcast, and if we are over in the UK or if you're back over in Ireland or whatever and you want to come and see a show, just drop me a message. If we can organise a guest list or whatever for you, we'll sort that out.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you so much, George Murphy, guys.
Lovely to chat to you.